This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I just want a bit of fun, James.
It's all right, mate. I don't want to put you off that. Hello everybody, my name's James. Welcome to Planet Sky FF, the world where everything revolves around £50,000 for perhaps some people other than me and my guests, of which this week I've got two of our patrons on board. Firstly, let me introduce you to Phil Loveland. Stuart, how are you, Phil?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, James. You all right?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you, mate. And also joining us is Sean Thorpe. How are you, Sean?
All good, James, thanks. Thanks for having me again.
Good stuff, mate. Pleasure to have you back. Phil, your handle on Twitter is Failure.
It is, yeah.
As in FPL Failure.
FPL Failure, yeah.
Why?
I think I discovered FPL Twitter a few years back, and I wanted to make a separate account, so I wasn't just clogging up my own Twitter account at the time with me chatting rubbish about fantasy football. So, and I wasn't doing very well at the time, and I'm naturally quite self-deprecating as a person, so... Yeah, I'm the fantasy football failure, but this season not so much, to be fair.
Tell us a little bit about you, for those who don't know, and then how your Sky season's going, mate.
So I'm Phil. I joined Planet FPL Patreon, 5 years ago, maybe. I'm a Wolves fan living in the south. I live in Sussex, so I don't get there very much, but it's through a family connection from when I was a kid. And in terms of Sky, your fault I started playing it, to be honest, because it was when you started doing the pods on it.
Actually, no, I'm not sorry. It's the game for fantasy managers.
It is. No, it's great. I love it. I feel like I'm gradually getting better each year. This season, it's a good time for me to be on, to be fair, because I've got my peak rank of the season as of the other day. So I'm 242nd at the moment, but we'll talk about it later, I'm sure, but I only have 3 transfers left. So it's a slight issue. Some things have gone wrong. Some panic transfers were made. Some transfers were missed. But overall, fairly happy, to be honest.
It's a very good rank, though, mate. I think we can all see year on year the game is getting harder in the sense that there are so many more good new players getting introduced to the game every year. And for yourself, Sean, your rank's pretty good. Tell the people about where you're at and who you are for those who don't know.
Yeah, so I'm Sean. I'm FF Thinker on X or Twitter. So I'm currently 348 at the moment. I was sort of mid-hundreds at overhaul, and it's just been a bit of a grind since then, really. I said sort of before, it's been a case of Arsenal, either having them or not having them when I should have done has been the main thing, really, that's caused the sort of flotation where I am at the moment. But yeah, I've got 8 transfers left, so I've got a few more than Phil, but yeah, it still feels a bit, could do with a couple more, as is always the case at Sky when people worry about at the end of the season not having enough. So but yeah, I've enjoyed it again. It's probably, hopefully, if I can push towards the top 100. I think it's about 40 points at the moment. So if I can get towards there at the end of the season, it'll probably be the best that I've had so far. I've been playing it for about 3 years, so not long. But yeah, it's that the sort of tactics and strategy of it that's, I think, sets it apart from any of the other formats that we all play.
Yeah, so you're both having a good season, and I don't actually sit here like a mug. Suj has probably just been thrown up in the back of his mouth, I should imagine. And for the record, yes, he missed the deadline again at the weekend, although was pleased as punch to tell everyone that he missed the deadline on Sunday, because so many people, I don't want to say wasted their time, but it didn't quite go as anticipated. I've had a pretty good week, though. 125 points for me. I'm up to 120th. Actually, same as you, Sean, 8 transfers left. Feel pretty well set for the week or so ahead, and then the next moving day is probably next Wednesday for myself. How was your weekend, Phil, in the sense you've obviously not got many transfers left? Did you go heavy at the weekend or not?
No, I only made one transfer. That was Son to Saka. So, yeah, I went into weekend with 4 transfers left. So I couldn't ignore the move of Son to Saka. You get 3 games out of it, then move him on to Newcastle player for more extra fixtures, basically. And it just seemed worth using 2 of my remaining 4 for that. Obviously, that didn't work out. But I did already have Rare and Saliba in place, and also Van Dijk, Salah and McAllister. I think I got Van Dijk and McAllister, or Salah and McAllister, like the week before, I think. So I did still have like 6 from Liverpool and Arsenal. I know some people in the Slack had 8 or 9 going on that day. Some people started Watkins and stuff. But obviously, because no one did too much, it obviously worked out quite well. And then Sunday was a good day for me because I had Jackson still sitting there.
Nice.
Don't ask me why. I got him in, I think, before the Manchester United game, from what I can remember. I took a gamble on it and hoped he wasn't going to get yellow. Obviously, he hasn't done anything up till now, but him and Gusto getting 24 points between them moved me up about 160 places. I was like 401st going into that day, so that was a nice little jump.
What do you do if Jackson gets booked next Tuesday?
Cry. No.
Does he just stay, or do you go, shit, I've got to move him now? Or
I think I would go to my backup plan of swapping him for a United player on the Wednesday. They play on a Wednesday, aren't they?
Yeah.
At the moment, my plan is to hold him through and transfer him to a Man United player on that Monday night when they play Palace. Is that the single game day?
Yes.
On the
Monday 6th. The 6th.
Yeah, so that's the current plan, because then I know they're hard fixtures, but I'll get an extra 4 games out of, 4 games out of Jackson, and then move to a United player for another 4 games plus a captaincy. That's the plan at the moment. But yeah, if he gets booked, I'll just bring that forward.
Do you know the 3 players you want to buy with what you've got left? Ideal scenario.
Ideal scenario, yeah. So, not necessarily the exact player. So probably Saka to Isaac on Wednesday.
Yeah.
But I possibly will go Gordon instead, just in case he does better, and because I can't load up on Newcastle, just to like differentiate myself, possibly. And then it was going to be, who else do I need? So the third one is the one I'm not sure about. So it might be, I thought about possibly a Spurs player, from an Arsenal player. I've written it down somewhere, but I can't remember.
Probably when Tottenham played Chelsea, I guess then.
Yes.
Thursday the 2nd.
Tottenham, Chelsea, or when they play Arsenal, if I'm moving from a player that's playing on the 27th.
Have
on
you
the
got
28th.
Coverage of Palace or Manchester United?
Not at the moment, no.
Are you thinking you're going to skip that as it stands?
Palace and United, what day is that one?
So that's Monday the 6th of May.
So, that's the one I'll move Jackson to United player that day if I haven't had to do it earlier because he gets booked. So I'll have a United player in place by then. So, yeah, my third one was just going to be Tottenham if I can get one on the 28th or on the 2nd, just because that's like a bunch of extra games over.
It's just the one game for Jackson to get through now. And I think there's every chance he'll become quite popular now, Thursday to 2nd. I mean, as you all have seen, forwards don't get any opportunities against my team. what's really interesting about the Tottenham investment, and I think there's a massive temptation to do it, particularly if the Arsenal game stays on Sunday the 28th. If Arsenal lose tonight, that will be a confirmation of that, because Tottenham will have 6-3 over teams. But you're not captaining it, though, I don't think, which is really interesting from that perspective. You can maybe make a case Saturday the 11th, you'd go a Tottenham player at home to Burnley, but you'll see the Manchester City team at Fulham. So if Haaland's in it, there's probably not a captaincy there for a Tottenham player, despite the fact it's obviously going to be effective a couple of single game days in there. The single game days are against Chelsea and Manchester City, respectively. Well, if Palmer plays, it's Palmer, isn't it? And if Haaland plays, it's Haaland, I imagine. So yeah. I don't know, in your scenario, Phil, with the fixtures that Tottenham have, I don't know if you might want to consider going elsewhere.
Yeah, possibly. Just avoiding them. Possibly. I mean, it might just be, I'm sure something's going to happen that I'm going to have to use an extra one anyway. So it might just be that I save it and use it where I need to, where someone gets injured or whatever. And yeah, I hope no one else gets injured so I struggle through to the end.
I'd take it your plan at the moment is to skip Luton Everton.
Yes. Yeah, skipping Luton Everton. I've kind of been, obviously my hand's kind of been forced to do that, but I don't think it's a terrible thing. I was potentially looking at Raya to Pickford, which probably would have been the other night, to be honest. So I'm glad I didn't do that. But I would have done if I'd had more transfers. So it's just the way these things work out. And I just hope that game is 1-1 and no one that anyone owns scores the goals, I guess.
So those on YouTube might have noticed the way Sean's eyes opened, because he knew that I was going to come to him and say, you wouldn't have thought in Jordan Pickford on Monday night, would you, Sean?
No, definitely not. Why would you bring in Jordan Pickford ever? But I like to look ahead and plan and get stuff in ready for single game day. So yeah, Pickford's, I think my goalkeepers this week scored a massive -2 between them, Vicario and I think it was more if I held
Raya. Wow, you went from Vicario to Pickford as well.
So that was part of it. It was like, I'm sick of seeing Vicario should have gone a couple of weeks ago for Raya, missed the deadline in Sudge style. And I was just sick of looking at him. So I was like, kill two birds with one stone and yeah, get -2 from my keepers for the week. So yeah, it was fun. Could have been worse. If he continued 6, he only got -1. It's not too bad, he says, clutching at straws.
Well, look, yeah. If you think of it this way, maybe you and I have both got 8 left and I don't have the coverage of it. So I'm possibly effective one transfer down on you, effective, or I'm going to skip it. And I haven't decided yet, because it would be Raya to Pickford for myself. And as you and I discussed before we started recording, I'm like, I know I'm going to sell him on again. So then that's what two of my transfers left of my 8. So 25% is going to be part of bringing in Jordan Pickford and selling him on. And the more I think about it, I just think, should I just skip it? But I can see Everton going to Luton and winning 1-0 if they need to. And you think, I think if the Brentford game moves to Sunday the 28th, if that fixture swaps with Forest City, then it's almost unavoidable not to do it. But it could be that Tottenham Arsenal's still the same day, and then yeah. What? So the one I'd been eyeing up as a part of my plan at the moment is either to do it on Sunday or Wednesday. So it's then a case of, do I want to go earlier for Pickford against Forest and miss Raya against Chelsea, or do I keep Raya and then go for Pickford against Liverpool, which feels madness. But then fine, it's effective 3-1, effective 4-1 with the captaincy. And then move that on, it would probably be Vicario or Onana then for me in the running. I'm not decided as yet. And I think that the fact that I haven't decided yet makes me think more, wait for the Wednesday rather than do it on Sunday. But if something was to happen to Raya tonight or on Saturday, then yeah, it's going to force my hand to do it. Not that there's any expectation that it would. I haven't decided yet on that.
Do you think you look at, if you keep Raya till Tuesday, would you attempt to? Because my route is Pickford until the, I think it's the Saturday the 11th, and then I'll move to get Sheffield United, and yeah, then I'll move him to Onana on the Sunday. Do you think you'd move to Onana, just miss the, if you're going to miss the Everton Luton game, move to Onana on the 24th to get Sheffield United at home, Burnley at home, and then he's in place from Raya?
Well, I mean, there's even that as a debate, isn't it? What would you rather have Onana, Sheffield United and Burnley at home, or would you rather have Pickford for Liverpool at home, Brentford at home, and the captaincy against Luton. When you sell it like that, I mean, it's Pickford, really.
Yeah,
but when you sell it like that and the fact that you would save you a transfer, yeah. The plan at the moment is still Pickford for me, but I'll probably assess them against Forest. The thing is, I see Forest scoring against them on Sunday, I think. Yeah. So I think when I properly break it down, you'd expect Liverpool to score against them. Brentford and Luton one feels a bit more likely, maybe, for a clean sheet. Like I said, if the Brentford game moves to a Sunday, then I think it's got to go there. And to be honest, on that weekend, Saturday the 27th, Sunday 28th, we'll know on Friday for sure what's going to happen. Obviously, if Arsenal and Manchester City both go out tonight, everything stays where it is, essentially. We have also got the May final fixtures of being confirmed, which were confirmed not long after we finished recording last week. It is what it is. Hasn't always been the case. And it does change a few things. It's not landed a million miles away from what we expected. We did think Tottenham Man City would be a single game day, probably on Tuesday the 14th. That's what's happened. And the other two unarranged games would be Wednesday the 15th. So that's United against Newcastle, Brighton, Chelsea. That's what's happened. And we also thought the main TV picks, as per the conversation with Ian Parrin a couple of weeks ago, was going to be United against Arsenal and Villa against Liverpool. That's happened with TNT picking up Fulham Man City on the Saturday. But what's changed is there isn't a Friday night game that we might have thought there might have been something in there, like Forest against Chelsea or West Ham against Luton. That's not happened. And the United Arsenal games and Villa Liverpool games aren't both the Sunday. They're now single game days. So United Arsenal is on the Sunday and Villa against Liverpool is on the Monday. That can't change because obviously Villa Liverpool would be in Europe on the Thursday. The only thing that can affect that not being a single game day would be if West Ham knocked out by Leverkusen and got through their fixture with Luton, therefore would obviously move to the Sunday. That's pretty unlikely based on what I watched last week. So it does mean, obviously, a lot of people have gone heavy on Arsenal Liverpool this week, and maybe a reason why it's been even more heavy is there's a case to hold something. Because my plan before this would have been, well, I probably only keep one across the two teams. Now it feels like I want to keep two. Phil, what's your longer-term plan here with the Arsenal-Liverpool players?
For the most part, just going to hold them through. Obviously, I'm very limited. But yeah, Saka, probably Saka to go to a Newcastle player on the 24th, because that's the jumping-on point. They've got good fixtures. And I've still got Rare and Saliba in place. So generally passing tiers, they're going to still get clean sheets and stuff. It's not worth that last transfer moving them on for me. Liverpool-wise, it will probably be McAllister I'll move on if I do go to someone like a Brennan Johnson as a punt on the 28th or the 2nd, depending on if those games move or line up properly. Or move him to someone else and then keep Salah and Van Dijk again, just as like the consistent going through. So obviously I can't take advantage of too many extra fixtures because I don't have the transfers for it now. But actually my team is quite well set for the run-in just in terms of who's there, captaincy coverage for every day apart from Everton Luton. It's nice that there wasn't an extra single day like a West Ham Luton or something like that, that got moved into a single day for someone like me that would have benefited people with more transfers more than me, I guess. So yeah, it's basically just about that. And then possibly mixing it up a bit with captaincy to try and basically get a bit lucky, to try and like not drop too far, basically.
You haven't got Watkins, have you, Phil?
No.
You might have landed in a situation where you still had him. But I wondered if you did, would you think because of that you keep him now? Bearing in mind you'd be short on transfers.
Yeah, if I still had him, yes, I probably would. Because, I mean, he can score in any game, right? They've got Bournemouth, Chelsea aren't exactly watertight. Brighton isn't exactly a bad fixture for an attacker, is it? And then even Liverpool at home. Towards the end on that single day, you're probably captain Liverpool player, but even then, like the Aston Villa at home, they might still be needing
well,
to.
Well, yeah, the other thing is we could land there and Liverpool have rotated the team, got nothing to play for if they're out of the title race, and Villa might be trying to hold off Tottenham for fourth, and it might suddenly become a much bigger game for Villa, and you would maybe even fancy them.
Yeah, exactly.
Sean, I'm interested to know, when do you think your last transfer will be used?
I think it might be the 12th, the Sunday. And it'll probably be, as I said before, Pickford to
Onana.
At the moment, I've got, I had 6 or 7 penciled in at the 8, but I realised I was going to be playing a 3-6-1 and 2 million over budget. So that obviously doesn't quite fit. So, but I'm going to see how this weekend goes. So I feel like I will use the majority of what I've got left on Wednesday the 24th, so next Wednesday. And it depends if that City game stays on the Thursday. In a way, I hope it doesn't, so that, because I've still got Lewis Dunk. If it does stay on the single and I'm still a little bit behind, I might just go differential and just go no City and hope that they win the league, they rotate. And as we've seen in previous years, you've had Scott Carson playing in goal. You've had, who I can't remember who it was, Ferran Torres got a hat-trick, I think, didn't he, against Newcastle one game. So
yeah, I considered 8 players that night. I can promise you Ferran Torres wasn't one of the 8.
Yeah. So I think I might do that. So at the minute, I've got 7 Arsenal and Liverpool. At the minute, the plan is I might come off all 4 Arsenal, depending how the games go, because they've got the easiest hop-off point on Tuesday. And I'm looking at sort of Newcastle and Man U and potentially Wolves on that Wednesday night. So the only way to get to them is from Arsenal or Chelsea, and I'm not getting rid of Cole Palmer. So
no, you definitely, you're definitely not doing that. It's got to be one of the highest single game day scores of all time now on Monday night from Cole Palmer. He's
irrelevant as well.
Well, his ownership actually now in the top 1,000 is 100%, because anybody who was in there and didn't have him has presumably been kicked out now because of Palmer's haul, and nearly everybody obviously captained him that night. Yeah, I'm aiming to get to that Sunday 12th, Monday the 13th with one left and haven't planned what I'd do with it. Almost like an insurance transfer, I think. And then similar to you, yeah, dive into a United player. Possibly. It is diving in for Arsenal, Newcastle, Brighton, though. I mean, in Onana's case, it doesn't sound great, does it? Mind you, you'll get saved here in all of them.
Yeah, that's the only thing, isn't it? You're getting a 3-for-1, and yeah, that's just 6 points on appearances. Like I said, he does like save points, so you'd like to think you're going to get 10 points. And Arsenal and Everton have got Arsenal away in their last game of the season, so that could easily be a minus point again. So you'd like to think you'd make 10 points on the transfer. So that's the plan anyway.
No, I understand that. Would you, if you got short, would you be comfortable captaining a Manchester United player in that single game day against Arsenal? Like Onana?
My plan, yeah. It's at home, isn't it? So probably, because again, it depends on the state of the league. If they get to the point where they're still in the Champions League but not going to win the league, I don't know when the Champions League fixtures fall then. Do they fall on the...
So midweek before, we don't know what night yet, but obviously Arsenal would have at least a 4-day gap from a Champions League semi-final second leg to the United game, and then obviously 3 to midweek afterwards.
Yeah, if they're out of the league and still in the cup, I could see a bit of rotation there. You see like your Ramsdale, Smith Rowe, all that sort of stuff could easily play in that. I plan to have, at that point, 2 United players anyway, because obviously I'm not moving to Onana until the 12th. At the moment, so I've got no captaincy on the 6th. So part of my plan is to get Bruno in next Wednesday to then get Sheffield United at home, Burnley at home, and then you've got Crystal Palace in the single game day on that Monday.
Yeah, Bruno is high on agenda for me next Wednesday now as well. I spoke about this on the FPL pod on Monday about watching United on Saturday night and wanting to be convinced by Garnacho or Hoyland for both formats. And over this period with the extra fixtures, how often do we say, oh, it's extra fixtures and you don't get them? Yeah, but with Bruno, you will. He'll start every game unless he gets injured, and he doesn't get injured. And that obviously covers the single game day, Monday the 6th with Palace. You're going in Sheffield United, Burnley. Yeah, Bruno's kind of suddenly become a definite. Thinking about it more, I'd said previously on this pod, a lot of us might end up with money in the bank that we don't know where to spend at the end. Spend it on him. Is he value for what he is? No, not really. He hasn't really proved it this year. But for this run, he almost feels
ideal. Those two games. I mean, you can't beat those two games, can you? It's the best two games in the league at home. So,
yeah, absolutely. What's changed, though, I think, is, like I said, I think a lot of people maybe think I'm going to completely come off of Arsenal-Liverpool. And now I think people will be thinking I need to keep sort of at least one of each. I think maybe so. Part of my plan now would be to keep, say, Saliba and Salah. Part of getting Bruno would still enable me to keep Salah. Because I look through Salah's games as well, and I think I can see me captaining him in the majority. And that's why, even with less fixtures at certain points, it will still be worth keeping hold of him for me. That's my take.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's talk captaincy for the week ahead. I presume it's an Arsenal player on Saturday, or Phil, should we have enough reliability on Wolves to look elsewhere, mate?
No, I'm pretty sure I'll captain an Arsenal player. I'm trying to... It's whether I think we'll score or not. And my gut says we will, even though obviously Arsenal's defence is extremely good. But we've generally scored in most... I think we've scored in almost all of our home games this season. Cunha's back now. Huang will play at least some of the game. Aitnori might be back. I'll probably lean towards Saka because I watched us try and defend recently. Like, you just have to watch that Coventry game in the FA Cup to know without Dawson how like unorganised we are defensively. So I would expect Arsenal to win but Wolves to score, so I'll probably be on Saka.
The only thing is, obviously, look, they could end up with extra time tonight. And I think that makes it a bit spooky for the attacking guys. And you'd probably expect the guys at the back actually to hit a passing tier against you, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, my opinion would be similar, is probably yes, Saka. But if spooked, I'd probably just revert to Saliba, I think. Yeah. What would you say to someone like Sean who's considering buying Matthias Cunha?
I wouldn't put you off. I don't know how popular it'll be in Sky generally. But I think I think everyone will flock to United and Newcastle more on the 24th. But I mean, we've got Bournemouth, Luton, and Palace at home to come. My only slight concern is those easier looking home games are the ones that we've probably played the worst in over the season. So, as good as it looks on paper, it might not actually be that good in reality. But he's very likely to be involved in any goals we score. And we don't really have anyone else, so he'll continue to play, even if it's 70 minutes or so, while they're easing him back in. But yeah, I wouldn't put you off.
Sean, what's the thinking with Cunha?
I just want a bit of fun, James.
it's all right, mate. I don't want to put you off that.
I just want to go a bit... So I see how the weekend goes, but I just want to go a little bit differential. I've got probably about standard transfers, maybe, I'd say. Around about 8 probably at the moment. So I just feel like I can, come off of one of the Arsenal assets, maybe like Gabriel. I'm in a 4-5-1 at the moment. So can come off Gabriel to Cunha, get those two games. I don't know if you've looked at the captaincy. I'm guessing there probably isn't. No, probably not. And then straight away, if the Tottenham Arsenal game stays on the Sunday, hop it straight off to Sun, as long as I can work it. So I've got the money in the bank. And then just get, because obviously it's Man City and Liverpool away for Wolves in two of their last three. Whereas if I switch to a Tottenham player, I know they've got difficult games, but from an attacking point of view, they can create stuff in them games. And they've got Burnley and Sheffield United as well as the two. So I'll take the 6 games from a Spurs asset. I want to get one in, and Son's probably the one to go for, I'd say.
We will talk Tottenham in a lot more detail next Wednesday, I think. But yeah, to repeat what I've said on a few other shows, eyes on Brennan Johnson. If people feel they're going to be short of money rather than Sun, maybe it might be worth a consideration, particularly with maybe no captaincy knocking about. Saturday captain for you, Sean?
Yeah, probably the same. I've only got the four Arsenal assets I've got, so it'll probably be Saka, and I've got Odegaard, but it'll be a bit of a knock. He'll be fine, I think, for this week, but do they maybe rest him? I'd probably not, but I'll go for the safety of Saka, and then depending on the game from this week, maybe go defensively, like you said, if it goes extra time and stuff like that.
I take it, Sean, you've not got any injured players at the moment.
The only flag I've got is that one on Odegaard. And
okay, yeah, fine. You'll get info tonight, and I think this and that's just the usual with Arsenal. I think I imagine he'll play tonight. Phil, any injuries for you?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, this makes a nice change.
Yeah,
similar position for me. Sunday, guys, captaincy. I'll come to you first this time, Sean. Is it Salah at Fulham?
Yeah, so I've got Solanke away at Villa, but don't fancy that. Pickford at home to Forest. See the team, try and claw back the minus one that I've already lost. It probably will be. The only thing it would be where
just
is
doubling down that short, isn't it?
Yeah, just go for it. Captain where I can. So I've got Van Dijk, Salah and McAllister from Liverpool. But yeah, it'll probably be Salah. I'm probably gonna get through the weekend and then see where I lie to then see how rogue I go in the midweek. So yeah, probably be Salah.
Yeah, it's worth saying that the Sky community is probably more aware of this than the FPL community, but it was potential team leaks going around for Liverpool on Sunday. And although they weren't too impactful for fantasy, there was a couple of players in there that were wrong. And a note, importantly, for Sunday is obviously Liverpool are the early kickoff, but also don't get your deadline wrong, kids, because Everton and Nottingham Forest kicks off at 1:30 p.m. And the Villa-Bournemouth games and Crystal Palace-West Ham games are 3 o'clock. It's actually Everton Forest is the only one we'll see teams of on Sunday. I think it'll be Salah for me, unless there's some reason that I think I'm concerned he's not going to start. If he played 120 tomorrow night, I might need to give that a rethink. Tuesday night, is it the same thing, Phil? Arsenal attacker rather than defender against Chelsea?
It's going to be interesting, actually, because there's a temptation to stick it on Palmer. I mean, he scored 20 goals this season, right? So as good as Arsenal are, that might be a little risky thing to do just a different thing. So I think most people will gravitate to Arsenal. Realistically, I probably expect both teams to score. So it'll probably be, Saka or Palmer for me that day.
It's madness, isn't it? It's the highest scoring midfielder in the game now, 6.5 midfielder.
Nuts.
Never seen the like of it in this game. Sean, would you be tempted to go Palmer next Tuesday night?
I think I can see Arsenal imploding very much like other teams have done in the past, like where they, in the space of 2 weeks, they just lose everything sort of thing. So if they lose tonight and get a draw on Saturday at Wolves or whatever, I'd be more tempted to put on Palmer. I think I probably will anyway. Just like I said, I think if both teams score, you're probably not going to go for a defender. Therefore, it's Saka. I've got Odegaard, but it's Saka versus Palmer, really. And realistically, who's more likely to be definitely involved in a goal for each of those teams? Palmer for Chelsea, probably over Saka for Arsenal. So I'll probably go Palmer as well, just to say thank you for his Monday night haul that meant nothing.
Only Ollie Watkins has more points in Sky Fantasy than Cole Palmer. And you kind of suspect Palmer will outscore him between now and the end of the season with the extra fixtures he's got as well. I think, to be honest, I would still go an Arsenal player, captaincy. I'd be more inclined to go an offensive one in that game than the one against your team, Phil, on Saturday night, I think, actually.
Yeah.
Wednesday is moving day, guys, again. Or do either of you two have something planned beforehand from transfer perspective? For yourself, Sean, first?
No, Wednesday will be the first. Well, all being well, unless something happens on like Saturday to a player or whatever, Wednesday will be the first transfer.
And Phil, at the risk of you telling me, are you taking the piss, James? Have you got anything planned before Wednesday?
He's taking a piss. No, it'll be Wednesday. It'll be one, probably just one on Wednesday, unless Jackson gets himself booked. Okay. There's still a temptation to move him to United player anyway that day because of the fixtures, but because I can't get to Bruno, I think it's worth just keeping Jackson in because like I say, that's four more games of him, and then I can switch to get four games of probably be Garnacho, but maybe Hoyland if he started looking a bit better by then.
But so the priority for you would be a Manchester United player, you think, rather than a Newcastle player?
No, it'd be Newcastle first.
Okay.
because I can wait, because it's the entry point for Newcastle and I don't want to not have any. So whereas I can get a United player on the 6th, I know I miss the good fixtures and get the worst, but I need it for the captaincy. So it's just the way it's landed for me because I spunked too many transfers. So yeah, someone like Gordon or like say Isaac probably, but because I think a lot of people will go there, I might go for Gordon because it's slightly different. I don't know.
Okay. Sean, how many transfers do you think next Wednesday then?
Potentially might do 4. But if I do 4, it'll be all 4 of my Arsenal would go out. So it does depend on like the fixtures beforehand. But Bruno, I think, is a definite to come in from United. Probably for Odegaard, I'd say, at the moment. I'm looking at Newcastle, like Phil said, it'll either be Isaac or Gordon, depending on maybe formation that I need later, further down the road. Cunha, as I've said, is probably going to come in as well for those 3. The one that I'm wavering on is Shah at Newcastle. Maybe bringing him in, but again, it will be all 4 Arsenal would go out for that. And it would only leave me with Dunk if the City game stays where it is on Thursday. It'll leave me with no City assets and only Dunk as a captain, which if I'm chasing, I mean, it's not great, but probably get passing still.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't concede many, 4 points, yeah. So I might do that. But if it stays on the Thursday, I've then got the option of potentially moving off a Liverpool asset to a City asset. But again, it just, do I go Haaland and not gain any rank, or do I go a bit different and go for a Foden, probably a little bit different and stuff like that. So, but yeah, still probably definitely 3 and then maybe 4 or 5, depending on if the fixtures move.
Yeah, it's probably 4 for me. I'm glad that you give me some confirmation bias on Fabian Scher because he's in my plan at the moment. I think that the remaining 6 fixtures I've got are good enough. That's a nice little differential punt to take for the run in. Alexander Isak is a definite for me as long as he stays fit. So too is Bruno Fernandes. The other one I've got penciled in at the moment is Jordan Pickford, but it's things like not going Pickford and just going, I'll just keep Raya. Opens up maybe to go like Anthony Gordon instead, for example. So I think 4 for me rather than the 5. I'll stress part of that. I've kept Haaland because I knew he was definitely going to come back. And there was enough other players I was happy to move on, to leave that be. So I'm quite secretly hoping that the City-Brighton game moves back to the Wednesday a little bit because I just know it will cock up enough people's plans. Because if it moves back, getting the City players in becomes rough, right? Not only does the Brighton game move, the Forest game moves. Then the following weekend, they play Wolves on a Saturday. Now, unless you can get from a Luton or an Everton player, there's no gain. And then obviously we now know they're the early kickoff against Fulham on May the 11th as well. There is no entry point for Manchester City other than this. And I think, as we've all highlighted, if they were to now be in a position where they wrap the title up earlier, which is way more possible this week than it was this time last week, yeah, rotation hell. So I'm almost looking at it now that I'm happy just to go Haaland and maybe leave that be. I've actually got Ederson. I want to kill myself as part of a potential plan to get me a second. And what have I done? I hate it. Ederson, any consideration for you, Sean?
Nope.
No, you, Phil?
Even if I had the transfer, I don't think.
As if I'm going to use one of my last 3 transfers for a Man City goalkeeper that gets 2 points every week. Yeah. I suppose the fearful one for me is not having Rodri over that period. I took the decision to take him out. I really wanted to take him out on Saturday and look at a good few differentials. I must say, none of the players that went off on Saturday were actually under serious consideration for me. In hindsight, yeah, sure, Bruno Fernandes, James. But they weren't under. He wasn't under consideration to buy for me on Saturday. I just looked at it and went, he's asked for a rest. I think he'll get through in the Champions League. I think there'll be more rest for him in other games. I can see him like not playing at Forest, for example, or not playing Wolves at home. And I wonder how much actually I'm getting out of him. Then if they've got the title won, more rest at the end. For say the Tottenham and West Ham games, maybe. I don't think it's inconceivable that Rodri could only play sort of 2 or 3 games of what's left. So that's why I very reluctantly took the decision to move him on rather than Haaland, who despite, yes, you could captain Rodri over Haaland, he's still the likely one that would get the armband for me. So Haaland, the other important thing I think to say is, because the game, if the game stays on the Thursday, I don't want to use five transfers on the Wednesday, in my perspective. Just because if Haaland's not in the team, then I think, well, I do want to go back in and punt a Foden or an Alvarez because of Brighton defensively. That becomes way more important than Everton at Luton, for example, from a single game day perspective. That'd be like the Newcastle City thing all over again, wouldn't it? And I'll pick the wrong one again, obviously. So I think four for me next Wednesday. Who would you captain though, Phil, next Wednesday? What's the plan on that at the moment?
Wednesday, he's playing.
You've got Liverpool at Everton. You've got Manchester United, I'm Sheffield United, Newcastle at Crystal Palace, Wolves against Bournemouth.
We'll get the teams, won't we?
Yeah, all of them.
Wednesday night, yeah. So probably end up defaulting to Salah if he's starting. If Newcastle was at home, then Isak or something. Assuming I buy Isak or Gordon, it would have been them. But I think away is enough. There's enough concern about their sort of form generally away from home. I think I would probably default to Salah. I think that'll be the most popular ones. It's not particularly helpful, but yeah, it's hard to see past it generally.
Same for you, Sean. You said about having fun. Sounds like Sudge's here, really, except your rank is a few thousand better.
I think I might, because at that stage, in the minute, I might have Bruno. Well, we'll have Bruno, I think. So I'd be tempted to go for Bruno. I might even then go Cunha as the second option, Bournemouth at home, and then Sarah will probably be third. But yeah, I think if I'm going to go for a Bruno and or a Cunha, especially for Cunha, I'm going for two games, do I just go double down on it? And because, I mean, feasibly, even on the Saturday, they've got Luton at home. I mean, Newcastle got Sheffield United at home, but he's probably not that far out of the captaincy conversation on that day as well, really, if I've got him out of the rest of my team, because obviously there's no Arsenal at the moment. City, again, at the moment on this Sunday, aren't they? So, yeah, both of them could be captaincy on both days, really. So, yeah, I might go for one of those two.
I think that one, Saturday the 27th, is Saka and Sheffield United for me.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Yeah,
that's the one
that,
I'm looking
it?
At, that one. Mm. I mean, none of us have had any experience in fantasy football this year, captaining players against Sheffield United and it going badly wrong, but that's possibly what I'm thinking of doing. Phil, just what city have you got left, just briefly?
I've still got Rodri and Haaland. So I'm similar to you. Yeah. I'm hoping that game does move. Is that to do with Champions League and draws?
Yeah, so
and
City
like
play
that?
On the Tuesday in the Champions League afterwards. Forest and City moves to the Saturday, and Everton Brentford will move to the Sunday. Similarly, if Arsenal play on that Tuesday in the Champions League, then Tottenham Arsenal moves to the Saturday lunchtime. West Ham Liverpool moves to the Sunday.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
There is definitely. I mean, again, we will know on Friday how this is going to look. But there is a scenario that might look quite awkward for people, with perhaps Tottenham against Arsenal and Everton against Brentford, I think would be particularly awkward for the captaincy. But Sean, you can definitely go Jordan Pickford under that circumstance, mate.
Exactly.
Winner, winner, chicken sorted, dinner, mate.
Sorted.
And City left for yourself, Sean?
I've got no City at the moment. So at the moment, on that Thursday, my only option is dump. And I think I'm going to hold Dunk just through because no one scores that many points defensively at the moment. There's no sort of great team and he's guaranteed you start in five. So, yeah, even if they concede a couple, I'll just take the four from him every week. And I think they've got difficult fixtures, but, yeah, it is what it is.
And then that's you taking on Haaland for the rest of the season, is it?
I don't know. I'm going to see. Yeah, if he stays on the Thursday, I've yet to see the team. And I'll be able to come off a Liverpool asset, whether that's Salah or McAllister, or whoever it is. So I might, if it's a bit of a funky team, like Doku, I don't know. We'll see what the team looks like. I might use one of the transfers on that just to be a bit different. Because if I'm 40 points off the top, going Haaland's not really going to... I mean, I'll lose rank if it goes off, but I might as well try and catch up. And he's probably one of the best ways to do it, going without him.
Yeah, fair enough. Just a quick one. You've obviously bought Pickford, Sean. There's a few people who have bought Jared Branthwaite on Monday night as well, and I can understand why that would have happened. We don't know the prognosis on him at this stage, but obviously if he's injured, that's going to be a move on, and there's not going to be many places to go. Plus, that would have been your Everton Luton coverage. So now you want something else, I'm guessing. You'll probably feel obliged to go to Pickford. Would you, under that circumstance with Brantford, would you consider take, if he's ruled out, if the positions work, would you either you consider going for Morris on Saturday under that specific scenario?
Yeah, potentially. Because you get, what do you get? Three games, don't you? And then you could potentially, you've got your choice of everyone, haven't you, after the Friday game. So if you then want to, if you've got like a, you then want to go into a City asset, if you've got some money in the bank, that's your route to it, isn't it? If the fixtures do move, and like you said, we'll know on Friday, so before that game, if the fixtures are going to move. So if you're going to struggle to get to a City asset, then yeah, that could be a good daisy chain, a four for, well, nothing essentially, obviously, because Brantway's out, and then get to a City asset.
That's going to be a really difficult one for Brantway. I mean, the one that shot me up over the weekend is Gusto. But it will feel wrong going to buy him on Tuesday away to Arsenal. But that might be the forced-in solution that people possibly want to have a think about. Have either of you guys got Palace, by the way?
No.
Close.
Nothing.
I went McAllister on Sunday, and it didn't, instead of Eze. And it didn't burn me bad, because McAllister actually ended up with an 8-pointer to Eze's 10. I did think about it a lot, though, and I wonder if people might look at him again and go, right, the three games, West Ham, Newcastle, Fulham, and then move it on to something else. It's a sort of luxury one I can see Ian Parrin doing with the extra transfers he's got, whereas the rest of us are like, oh, do I want to keep that to the end? But obviously, with the single game day of Manchester United, if you don't want any Manchester United, and I can certainly understand people come to that conclusion, there's an extra game there as well. Take the Wolves game and then perhaps get a 3-for-1 for something else right at the end. But I think I'm going to leave that be. I'm guessing neither of you are considering Eze either, therefore.
No, I'd love to. I think it,
sorry, I think, Phil. I should have just said Sean, shouldn't I? Sorry.
I think it's a great one. If people have got extra transfers or want to go against getting piling into something like United and Newcastle, or sort of almost instead of something like Cunha that Sean's looking at doing, you could go for Eze on Sunday instead. And bring him through, like you say, either keep him for the single and then move him on after the Wolves game, or do the three games and then move him on the 28th, looking at that. Again, yeah, if you've got the fixtures, because he's kind of person that can go off. I assume he could get shot tears, he'll pick up goals. I think he still takes the pens. Like, he could haul in one of those three.
Is he definitely the best Palace asset if people want to buy it, do you think, Sean?
I don't know what Anderson's passing numbers are looking like at the moment. I'm guessing the changing system probably not as high as they have been previously.
He's not hit it since Glasner took over, other than the first game against Burnley. But it's worth noting that Burnley went down to 10 men in the first half.
Yeah, I think if you're going for a short time as well, obviously you've got the injury question marks, but if you're only going to go for three games, I wouldn't go for Mateta or... I mean, you've got Elise, but I'd rather have Eze. I think he's on, I don't know, is he on pens? Probably not. I don't know if Mateta takes him.
We think Eze.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. Mateta has taken a few recently, isn't he? But the guys on our Slack were saying Eze, they thought.
I think I'd just go with him. I think, yeah. For me, I think he's got some decent players. They signed Wharton from us in January, and he's a really good player, but not... in a short format, he's probably a good sort of budget option, maybe next year in terms of what price he comes in at, that sort of stuff. But just for an impactful sort of three games. I'm tempted to go to him now you've talked about this. I was so close to going on Sunday, a bit like you, and I was so focused on get the Arsenal in, and then you can hop off them on the Wednesday. So it was Odegaard or Eze. And then as soon as Palace scored, I knew without looking it would be Eze, because it's the way it goes, isn't it? But There is an option. Rather than go Cunha, do I sort of come off Gabriel on Saturday and maybe take in those three and then move on to Sonny if Tottenham still stay on the Sunday. So
Eze is 3% owned in a top 1,000.
Yeah, it's a tempter.
There ain't gonna be many more you can get to that are like that have got the the capability. I mean, his return since Glasner came in 7-2-9-7-2-6-4. Oh, that's not Eze, that's Mateta, sorry. Eze. Yeah, but Eze's a no better, so it's 8-1-7-2-2-10. So he's more feast famine. Whereas actually, yes, I had Mateta up in front of me because he obviously offers another Brantfate solution. You know what price Mateta is?
Got to be close to sevens.
He's 6.7 in 0.9% of the top 1,000. Why have we not been looking at that as a potential enabler for now until the end of the season? Because he's pretty assured of his place, I think, at the moment. Again, if someone's in a back four and bought Brantwaite, that's probably where I'd be going rather than Morris, I think. Even if that was then to go, right, I'll go on to Gusto after, or another enabler that's got extra fixtures. I really don't mind Mateta. If you had a Palace player on Sunday, would you consider going all in on it and captain it as well?
It's a decent option, isn't it? I mean, looking at the games, you've had choice of anyone, you'd probably go Watkins would be up in the conversation, wouldn't he? Just at home to
if you had,
the Liverpool assets. Yeah. But yeah, if you've obviously Pickford at home to Forest as well. But if you've if you've got a Palace asset at home to West Ham,
I think it'd chase it.
Eventually,
Watkins is down to 7% of the top 1,000. I think all of those 7% who own him should captain him on Sunday.
I definitely would captain
That's got to be a big reason for why he stayed, was the thinking to captain him in that fixture. And then it's either move him on in the midweek or keep for the Chelsea game and then possibly move on again. I get that. But listen, he's the highest scoring player in the game. It's very understandable why people have kept hold of him, but the additional fixtures for others are coming.
Yeah.
I just want to go through some of the data from the weekend. I'm only going to cover off the teams that are kind of interest to us at the moment. So no passing tiers in the Newcastle-Tottenham game. Do either of you know which Newcastle player completed the most passes, by the way?
Probably
Bruno.
Bruno Guimarães completed 15 passes. Yeah. No. Dan Burn completed 17 is the most.
Damn. Damn.
That's the most.
And yes, that's not a complaint, by the way. Newcastle deserved their 4-0 victory. No Tottenham player, despite that, completed passing numbers either. Christian Romero, one short, 59. Mickey van der Ven, 51. The only tiers in the game were tackles for Guimarães and Isak with shots. I'm thinking Cher, Gordon, Isak are under real consideration for me next Wednesday. Would either of you be considering Bruno Guimarães as well? Sorry, Sean, would you be considering Bruno Guimarães? Sorry, Phil.
I think a lot of it will come down to formation because you've got Palmer, Salah, Saka. That's three of your potential five. And then depending how you're sort of working, if you've got a McAllister or Sonny's coming in, I think Isaac, there's not many forwards you want to have. So Isaac's that easy option to have as a striker. And again, as we said before, defenders, there's not a huge amount about. So Shah's a good option. But I don't know what his scores like have been recently, but he seems to be ticking over with something most games. So yeah, he's a decent option at any time, I think, in Sky.
Nothing to speak of from Brentford, Sheffield United. Just a note, though, for those who've got Bumo as an example, I did mention that circumstance where you could end up with Tottenham, Arsenal and Everton, Brentford on the Sunday in a couple of weekends. You might deem that your Bumo option suddenly looks like the best. I know there's people out there who've got Ivan Toney as well. Obviously, look, see what happens Saturday. But I think generally speaking, the Brentford players are probably going to be sellable for you. Brighton at Burnley, Van Heck 66 passes, Lewis Dunk 79, Pascal Gross 76. You shouldn't be too surprised that's a little lower than normal because Burnley is certainly a team that can retain the ball, as proven by Esteve actually hitting passing tier against them, a dinger with a shot tier. Brighton, you mentioned you've got Dunk, Sean. If you didn't, would you be looking at them otherwise?
No, probably not. I think Fanex, the same sort of price as Branthwaite, isn't he? In and around that figure, I think. So you sort of think, well, that is a good option. But, I mean, they've got six games left. It's just City. You sort of look at the first game and a bit worried. But then you've got Bournemouth, Newcastle. And the big games are all at home, I suppose. Villa, City, Chelsea, Man U are all at home.
But
I wouldn't fancy him in a clean sheet in any of them. I don't think that's the only thing.
Although
but
I then
you but you expect Dunk to get 30, I think, across the six. There will be one in there as a clean sheet, and there'll probably be a booking or something in there or something. So it's still reasonable to expect him to hit 30 over that period. So there's no reason not to buy him. And obviously, people with Brighton probably want to wait one more and look Sunday the 28th, maybe. Because again, if it is Tottenham Arsenal and it's Everton Brentford, you've got Brighton at Bournemouth the same day, suddenly might land everything. I'm going Lewis Dunk at Bournemouth, maybe. Interestingly, you haven't held any of you, Phil?
No, I think I had Van Heck for quite a long time this season. I moved him on a little while ago. Maybe it's Augusto, I can't remember. But yeah, I just, like I say, I don't think you're going to get clean sheets, but defence is still probably the way to look at it just because of the way the game works and the way they play. You're very likely to get 5 points from Dunk, give or take the odd couple of goals conceded or yellow card or something. So yeah, they're not bad.
We all probably wish we could pick up a Manchester City defender as well, but goodness knows which one to get. From this weekend's lineup, Josko Vardio, obviously, with a goal assist, tier one passing, 60 passes completed, and two shots on target for a nice little haul. Akanji, 90, Diaz, 110, Rico Lewis, 84, all in tier two passing. But do note that obviously at the weekend, Kyle Walker and Nathan Aki were both on the bench as well. And obviously John Stones had a rest there. So we might be at a stage where they're all back fit suddenly. Mateo Kovacic, 81 passes and five tackles, one standing in for Rodri. There were shots here for Nunes, De Bruyne and Haaland. Kaminsky made 9 saves for the record. Forest Wolves, I don't think we're looking at anything other than maybe Cunha, as you said, Sean, did it shots here and obviously scored twice at the weekend. Joel Gomez, for reference, played a more advanced role, which might be why he only won 2 tackles at the weekend. Bournemouth, Manchester United, there would certainly be people holding Solanke. That I sold. That's because it's an awkward one to sell. You still got, have you, Phil?
No, he's the one I think I sold to Jackson before that Manchester United game a while back. So, yeah, I took that gamble on the yellow card, which just still worked out. But obviously, yeah, he's just like Mr. Consistent, isn't he? He'll tick over with a return every other game. And yeah, he's always a tough sell because you know what you're getting with
and
him.
And he's a good price. I mean, once you start, Mateta's 6.7, but Solanke's only 7.8 or 9, is he?
Mm.
Like, when you break it like that, why would I consider that sort of move? What are you thinking, Sean? Because you've got, haven't you?
I think he will be my make weight if City stays on the Thursday. I think that's the best time to sell him. Because like you said, you've got Brighton on the Sunday, you've got Arsenal, I suppose, on the Saturday. But get those two fixtures and then move him to a City, which is probably why I might have to go to Isaac. Because if I go Isaac and Cunha and then move Cunha to Sun, I need to make sure I've still got a striker up there. And if I haven't got the money to Haaland, I have to go for a Rodri or a Foden. So he will, if it stays like that, the fixtures as they are, he will become probably a City midfielder, I would say, or maybe Alvarez.
Okay. I think the one that might become really popular is the exact one you did, Phil. Is Solanke Jackson. To Jackson when Chelsea play Tottenham on Thursday the 2nd. Keep Solanke for Villa, Wolves, Brighton. Then from that point, you've got 5 for 3, which includes Solanke's next fixture would be Arsenal away. That might be the one. I can't get rid of him. Not that people need to get rid of him. Sean's decided to turn his camera off, which is interesting. He's back.
Sorry, you're good, mate.
For Manchester United, Bruno Fernandes to go with his 2 goals, 61 passes completed, and obviously, therefore, the shot tier as well. There was tackles for Dalot, Casemiro, passing tier for Harry Maguire, and of course, save tier for Onana. Ebe Eze, obviously, with a shot tier to go with his goal for Crystal Palace at Liverpool at the weekend. It was a shot tier for Mateta as well. Hughes, Wharton and Munoz all in tackles. Dean Henderson is one that's not getting spoke about. Might offer a solution to one or two people. Perhaps those who went Jordan Pickford early. Made 5 saves for Liverpool. Andy Robertson, 76. Virgil van Dijk, 114. Ibrahima Konate, 87 passes completed. Connor Bradley went off injured. We're not considering Trent here next Sunday or Wednesday, Sean. That could be an explosive differential, couldn't it?
Yeah, I don't think I'll look to add. I've got 3 Liverpool. I don't think I'll look to add another Liverpool unless, I know City don't play in the league before then, do they? They play on a Thursday. I was going to say, unless we see that City have slipped up and then it's all systems go again.
Yeah, probably not. I don't think there's any other hop-on points after next week, is there, in terms of Liverpool?
Well, the West Ham fixture could move to the Sunday. That would make it really interesting as well. If it does, that would then obviously flip with the Tottenham-Arsenal game. The following week, Liverpool play Tottenham on the Sunday. And, of course, you need to factor in the single game day with Villa now as well. So, I mean, if someone did decide to cut Salah to get to Sun, for example, and then realised, oh, shit, I want Liverpool back and can't make it work, maybe Trent as an alternative. I mean, if people are looking for differentials, I don't hate that, but certainly keep an eye on the minutes Thursday night. Alexis McAllister, 77 passes completed, 7 tackles, 1. He's doing really well. West Ham Fulham, I think we can skip over. For Arsenal, just briefly, 6 tackles, 1 for Ben White against Aston Villa and a shot here for Kai Havertz. Nothing else. 41 passes for Gabriel, 45 for Saliba. Pau Torres actually hit passing tier, 66 passes completed. Yuri Tielemans in the tackles. And finally, for Monday night, between Chelsea and Everton, it was a very nice surprise to get Malo Gusto in the passing tier, which gives you an idea of Chelsea's dominance. 63 passes completed. Conor Gallagher also hit tier 1 passing. The two centre-backs, Thiago Silva and Trevor Chalobah, 79-85 respectively. It is very murky defensively for Chelsea, I think, unless Gusto. We didn't even have Sanchez on the bench to know if there's any intention to change that. Sanchez, we think, will play the FA Cup semi-final if he's fit. What happens afterwards is a bit more guesswork. At least, obviously, you'll see the team lineup against Arsenal. And then I think, very importantly, you would see it against Tottenham as well, if there was any alarm for Petrovic owners. I don't think Thiago Silva's not going to play all these games. And I'm not even sure that he's necessarily back in favour either. I just think this aside was unavailable, wasn't he? Badiashile was a substitute, unused. Yeah. Either you looking at Chelsea centre-backs? That's a no-no, isn't it?
No.
No. And for Everton, I think if Branthwaite is ruled out, the only one I would literally consider, jokes aside, Sean, is Pickford. And I may make the move myself next week, but I haven't decided yet. Sean, Phil, you're going to skip that, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm skipping it. I think if I had the transfers, I would probably do it, because you never know what can happen. It's nice to have an option, especially with a keeper. Like, if someone blazes a penalty over the bar, you get penalty save points and stuff, don't you? So that can happen at any point. So it's buying a ticket, as they say.
Okay. I think we've covered most of the questions. Just a couple of quick ones. Michael Haaland, do you think Haaland is a must bring back? I'll throw that to Phil first.
I don't think it's a must. But it would be very hard not to if that game stays on the Thursday against Brighton and he sees in the team. It would be very hard not to make that move if you can make that move. Just because you know what he can do. I don't know. Would you bring him back if you'd sold him?
That's why I didn't sell him.
Yeah.
Essentially. was almost like, well, if I get stuck with just the one city, I kind of want it to be him, basically. And it wasn't. I've only got one forward at the moment as well. So from that perspective, it did work out. Sean, you're going to take him on, right?
I don't think he's must. It depends on a couple of things. Depends on your way, what your aspirations are in terms of, do you just want to get the highest position, or do you want to, like I say, have a bit of fun the last few weeks? And also, it depends on what the league looks like. Because if by that time, if Arsenal have dropped points and Liverpool have dropped points, they both played twice, then it makes rotation more of an issue for City for those final 6 games. So, yeah, I think you'll know a lot more before sort of the next, before you want to bring him back in. But yeah, I wouldn't say he must bring back in. I think I will probably take him on, but probably with another City asset and hope they've gone through and rotate, and I'll go a bit like a Doku or something like that. It's a bit of a differential.
Okay, one more, and I'll come to you first on this one, Sean, as well. So this one's from Liam Austin, who did go for Branthwaite. As a cheap enabler with obviously the games coming up. He's flagged currently. Let's do this question based on he's ruled out. He says he has the transfers left to take him back out, but stuck on what path to take. He'd have 8.6 to play with, but it must be a defender. He says best to hold or move while I can. Well, without information, it's a hold, Liam. But if he's ruled out for a while, and I suspect having come off after 58 minutes, it probably will be the ruled out scenario. You're moving. Any thoughts on where to go from there, Sean. 8.6 for a defender. And I guess it would probably mean skipping Luton Everton. Unless you're going to have a plan to get Pickford, basically.
Shaw's at.
Isn't he 8.7, Fabian Schär, I want to say.
Of course he would be.
yeah, he's 0.1 short of Fabian Schär. Otherwise, I wouldn't have minded that. Just wait for Wednesday and take the information, maybe.
Yeah. Not a lot, really. Like you said, you've got Gusto. I'm guessing he's less than that. There's no Liverpool assets now, either. They're all going to be above it. Arsenal are all above it.
I think you're tempted and to you? Buy it. I think you're tempted to buy something this weekend. Mm. And the only two teams I could see me being interested in investing in this weekend is one, Everton, which would have only been Pickford or Branthwaite. So, no. The other one is what we spoke about, is Palace. Even if that's them moving it on. So it feels like the right solution here for Liam might be Anderson, I think.
I know Phil will probably know more about this than me, but the last few weeks, I know they've got Arsenal on Saturday. They've got three home games. Kilman's been getting in the passes pretty much most games, I think, the last few. I mean, it's not great with Arsenal. We've got two home games, potential, like a bit like you just said, in terms of take the three games and then look to move it off on the Sunday. But he does seem to be getting quite a few passing tiers at the moment. And I'm guessing, I suppose, Luton won't necessarily give up passing, do they? I don't think. So, but yeah, maybe Kilman or... You could go Man U defender, but do you really want to go Man U defender? No.
It's more if you've got a player injured, you want to move as soon as you can, can't you? I don't think there's anything on the Saturday that holds interest unless you wanted to go another Arsenal defender for two games and then move that on as part of that process. But you're not even getting a decent Arsenal asset for that price, are you?
No. If I wanted to go at the weekend, yeah, it'd either be Crystal Palace. I would be tempted to go Kilman. 7.7. Looks like he gets passing. Won't against Arsenal. I suppose it's against Arsenal, but the three home games as well. So you've got that over Palace, where it's got two home and away. So,
I mean, by the way, he might against Arsenal, but he won't get the clean sheet and the passing. But you've just seen Pau Torres, obviously, as a passing tier for Villa at the weekend. So dependent on game state, we've spoken about this a lot with Arsenal. It's not impossible. Phil, Max Kilman.
Not the worst option. I wouldn't have even thought about it, to be honest, but I hadn't realised his passing had been better recently. He almost scored the other day, apart from the offside. But he's not likely to do much of that. He's not bad for three games. We might get a clean sheet in the Bournemouth or the Luton game. He might get passes in one. I mean, you're selling an injured player, right? So you get three games and then you can look at what to do if you've got the transfers for it. The only other one I thought was, if you still need something for the single game day, maybe Doughty. I know he's now playing centre-back and their defence is a bit ruined, but...
That's not a terrible shout, mate.
You get the set pieces, you get a captaincy. It wouldn't surprise me if they beat Everton 1-0 or something and Everton miss a load of chances. Yeah, that's the only other one I thought of.
It does fix the captaincy problem. And I guess under this circumstance, I mean, it wouldn't be a consideration for me, but it would do the similar job. It's James Tarkowski as well. If you went for Branthwaite, you wanted to go Everton, is it just a case of going James Tarkowski at the weekend instead? Or Mikalenko's one as an alternative we spoke about in the past, is capable of picking up the tackle tiers, might even be a better call under this format. Kilman's picked up passing tier in five of the last seven, actually. But I don't know if the opponents are part relevant at that. I look at what's coming, I think he doesn't hit it against Arsenal. He doesn't hit it against Luton. He might against Bournemouth. That would be my take.
Whereas
I look at Anderson and I think you're going straight into West Ham at home, actually probably hits it against West Ham. Again, game state, it's not impossible against Newcastle either. Fulham away, you wouldn't expect. But you could go straight into a 10-pointer against West Ham there, maybe. I think if it was me, I think I'd go Anderson. Gents, thank you both so much. Phil, anything you want to plug, promote, sell, chat about before you finish, mate?
No, only the Planet FPL Patreon. Everyone should join because it's great and I love
stuff.
It.
You two haven't got the brown envelopes because actually you're passing the brown envelopes on to me, actually. So thank you very much, Phil. And yourself, Sean?
No, Phil took the words out of my mouth. It's great. The Slack especially, it's just I'm in too many channels because there's so much popping off all the time. But yeah, it's really good source of information, load of great people in there. So yeah, definitely join.
Thank you both so much, gents. Thank you both for your wisdom, Sean. Unfortunately, Sean won't be back next Wednesday. Serge will probably be back next Wednesday with his lack of wisdom instead, actually. What's next for you? Clash of Correspondence yesterday, by the way, might be worth people checking up on Wolves versus Bournemouth. If you want a bit more, perhaps on Matthias Cunha, particularly with Bradley Parker and Neil Grove. We've got Everton-Liverpool on Friday as well with Sean Norton and Dan Lord. Tomorrow I'll be streaming at 12 o'clock UK time. So if you got any Sky questions, feel free to join me on that stream as well. As the guy said, Patreon, www.patreon.com/planetfpl if you do want to support the show. Which just leaves me to say thanks again so much to Phil and Sean. Good luck, gentlemen. Cue music, please. Matt Schalk.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.